I want us to consider this evening the importance of using our mind to think clearly and critically as we serve God each day. Foolishness in the Bible is acting without good sense. It's not silliness. It's not having a good time and being silly and funny. It's when we act without good reason to be doing the actions that we're doing. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. The word logical is actually used here. It's translated in some Bibles spiritual. But the Greek word logikos is the word from which we get our English word logical, or according to reason. In Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, holy, acceptable to God, which is your, literally, your reasonable service. That which is according to reason, logikos, logical. God wants us to be logical. Remember Spock, Captain? That's not logical. And we used to make fun of Spock for being so brainy, you know, a brainiac. But God wants us to use our brain. He wants us to use our mind. He wants us to be clear in our thinking and reasonable in our actions. But foolishness is when we act without that. Where does reason and sense come from? Well, first of all, it comes from knowledge and understanding. Turn with me to Jeremiah 4 and verse 22. Jeremiah 4 and verse 22. When we understand the will of the Lord, we're familiar with Ephesians 5:17. When we understand the will of the Lord, we know what God wants for us. But let's look at Jeremiah 4 and verse 22. We may not be as familiar with this verse. Where do we get our good sense and our good reason? We're not born prepackaged with all of the things that we're supposed to know. We learn that as we go through life, as a child and as we're growing up. And so number one, it comes through good information, understanding and a knowledge of God's Word and God's will. Look at this, Jeremiah 4:22, my people are foolish. Now look at what he says. My people are foolish. Why, Jeremiah? They know me not. They are sottish children. They have no understanding. So they're foolish because they don't know me. They do not have understanding. So the more we know, the less foolish we are. The more we understand, the less foolish we are. But it's not just that. We have to take the understanding and the knowledge, and number two, we have to combine it with experience. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. That's the scripture there that didn't quite make it onto the slide. Ephesians 5:14. It's not just information, but we have to take that information and then practice it and use it and experience with it each and every day. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. But solid food is for full-grown men, or mature men, even those who by reason, look at this, reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Just like you exercise with your body. We have to exercise our mind. And we have to use that. And so your senses, your good sense, your good reason is exercised to discern good and evil. We take what we know, and each day we make choices. What is good? What is evil? What do I need to stay away from? What do I need to engage in? It starts with God's Word and then taking that and using that each and every day in practical situations in our life. God expects us to use our sense and our reason. But some don't do that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Some will not use the good sense that God gives them. They will not follow the Scripture. They will not walk according to God's will. And so when Paul talks about the Gentile world of his day, he writes in Romans 1 and 21, because that knowing God, they glorified Him not as God, neither gave thanks, but look at this, but became vain in their reasonings, and their senseless, look at that, senseless, without sense, Their senseless heart was darkened. There are people who won't use their senses. And so you see the degenerate process starting in verse 24 and verse 26, where he talks about homosexuality and other wicked kinds of things in verse 28. These are people, they're not just randomly doing things. They're doing things because they're not using the good sense that God gives them to act properly. And so not everybody acts with good reason and good sense. And some will not use the good reason that God gives them. Do you remember the false teachers in 2 Peter chapter 2 that Peter describes there? In 2 Peter chapter 2, he talks about those who are without reason. That should be verse 12. 2 Peter 2, verse 12. These are creatures without reason, born mere animals to be taken and destroyed. They're acting just like animals. And he goes on to describe, again, their immoral behavior in verses 13 and 14. Eyes full of adultery and covetousness and so forth. This immorality that they're engaged in is coming from people who are without reason and without sense. They're randomly acting in a way that's hurting themselves and hurting others around them. What we're doing, brethren and friends, this evening is we're building up to the point that God doesn't want us to be foolish. He doesn't want us to get up each day and act without reason and good sense. And foolishness is actually something that is a sin. Turn with me to Mark chapter 7. I think a lot of times when we think of the idea of foolishness, it's not really something that we preach and teach on a lot. It shows up a lot in the book of Proverbs in our scripture reading, another Proverbs, the fool. And we think of that as maybe someone who, you know, they just don't quite have it together, and maybe they're not as smart as we are, but, you know, they're okay. Look at Mark chapter 7. Look at the company that foolishness keeps. We would read Mark chapter 7 and verse 21 and 22, and we would say, I would never do these things. Jesus said, from within, out of the heart, come evil thoughts. Well, that's clearly bad. Fornication, well, that's bad. Thefts and murders and adulteries, boy, we would never do that. Covetousness and wickedness and deceit and lasciviousness and an evil eye and railing and pride. Oh, what's the next one? Foolishness. That's just as sinful and wrong as all those other things that are listed in those two verses. What we would say, simply being foolish, Jesus said, that comes from the heart. And then look at what he says in verse 23. All these evil things. Whoa, wait a minute now. Foolishness is evil? Yeah. All these evil things, including foolishness, proceed from within. And what do they do, Jesus? They defile the man. So, foolishness is not just something that is some minor little thing. Number one, it's evil. And number two, it'll defile us. That's something to think about. Foolishness. This evening, I want to talk about the statement that we find in the Scripture, I have played the fool. And I want to look at some situations this evening where foolishness abounds. And let's ask ourselves, do we see any of this in our life? And can we correct it? You know, I find it interesting in the Word of God that there are some individuals who were simply willing to admit that they had done something wrong. That's becoming, I think, in my opinion, harder to find today, where somebody would just simply say, you know, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Today, it's all about pride and cover up and don't ever admit any wrong. But we're going to look at some candid admissions. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 12 and verse 11. When Aaron and Miriam were speaking against Moses, God's leader, we find in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 9, the anger of Jehovah was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud removed from over the tent, and behold, Miriam was leprous. This was a serious thing to speak against Moses and the leadership like they had done back in verse 1. And so the cloud is removed from over the tent. Behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, look at this. O my Lord, lay not, I pray thee, sin upon us, for we have done foolishly, and for that we have sinned. Look at that candid admission. We shouldn't have done that. We should not have spoken against you. That was foolish to do that. Would we have admitted that? What a great thing for Aaron just to fess up to. We shouldn't have done that. But notice he says, we have done foolishly. Moses was God's leader. And it's foolish to question whom God wants in the forefront. Here's another example. Turns me to 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 8. You recall when David numbered Israel. The problem is not just numbering soldiers. The problem was it shows a lack of faith in God. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, David sinned in numbering the people, and Satan moved him to do that. Chapter 21, verse 1, and we know that story. And Jobab comes and questions him about that. Notice in chapter 21 and verse 6, and God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly in that I have done this thing, but now put away, I beseech thee, the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. What a candid admission. What a refreshing statement, even though David was wrong, just refreshing to hear that, hey, I made a mistake. I've done foolishly. I shouldn't have done that. Would we have done that? Would we have admitted that, or would pride set in and, well, we're not going to admit to anything, you see? But with a humble heart, they say, we have done foolishly. And then, of course, if you'll turn with me to the one that we're very familiar with, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 21. Our high school class has been going through the life of Saul and David in this particular passage. And we know the story there in 1 Samuel, where a good part of it, especially after David defeats Goliath, Saul is trying to kill David. And there are a number of events there where he doesn't like David and has ungodly actions and activities toward him. And look at, on this second occasion when David had spared his life, look at 1 Samuel chapter 26 and verse 21. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my life was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. Underscore that in your Bible. I have played the fool. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. I wasn't thinking. I wasn't using my mind. And I've been trying to chase you and kill you for no good reason. It started back in chapter 17 with envy and jealousy, and it just worked its way from there. And Saul was just off hinge. He was just out of control. And he comes toward the close of this thing and he says, you know, I have played the fool. I should not have been trying to kill someone who's been a good part of my life and who has always been supportive of me. I have played the fool. And you'll notice in all three of these instances, they bring up the matter of sin, or I have erred. And what a candid admission. And so this evening, let's look at this statement and look at this phrase, I have played the fool. And if we look over our lives today and if we look out in the world today, we can see where, if we'll be honest, we can say, I have played the fool. For example, I have played the fool in living my life without God. There's a lot of people who don't want God in their life. I don't need that church thing. I don't need that Bible thing. I don't need to pray. That's for my parents and grandparents. I don't need religion. I don't need God. And there are a lot of people like that. We're very familiar with Psalm 14 and verse 1, aren't we? The what? The fool hath said in his heart, what? There is no God. When I try to live my life without God, I have played the fool. The same thing is repeated in Psalm 53 and verse 1. When I try to go from day to day without God in my life, when I say there is no God, like the famous Richard Dawkins, who is all over, not our newspapers as much, but he lives in Britain. He's all over the European newspapers, the famous atheist of today. I don't need God. When we live like that, we're playing the fool. It's foolish to try to live a life without God. And here's why. Here's why. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 22 and following, when Paul talks about God, he says that there is ample reason and evidence to believe in God. Starting in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, the invisible things of Him, God, since the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being perceived through the things that are made. Underscore that. You can perceive God through what is made. It's foolish to say there is no God because the evidence demands otherwise. There is no way you can get an orderly designed universe from a Big Bang. It just does not happen. And here's the other thing. You cannot get morality from rocks. You can't do it. The evolutionist says that billions of years ago, a rock exploded. Number one, you can't get a design from explosions. And number two, we have right and wrong. We have good and bad. We have evil and good, right and wrong. Where did all of that come from? It can't come from a rock. It just can't do it. Richard Dawkins said recently that if people decided that there was no God, they would probably start doing a lot more bad things. Why did he say that? That's a candid admission. He knows that inside of us, there is a sense of right and wrong. Where does that come from? Well, the evolutionist says, well, it just came about. No, that's not good enough. We're not going to accept that answer. There's got to be a reason why we have right and wrong, good and bad. And rocks do not give rise to rights and wrongs. It just doesn't do it. So it's foolish to say there is no God. When you see grand design in the universe and you see morality in all of us, it had to come from someone who gave that to us and put that sense in us, and that is God. But how many people are trying to live their life in Clarksville and other places without God? They're playing the fool. And all we can do is try to get them to see that foolish behavior and to come and serve God on a daily basis. You know, I have played the fool in making a mockery of sin. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 23. You know, there's some people that when they do what is wrong, they laugh at it and they poke fun at it. Sometimes there will be these parties that young people will engage in, and there will be sexual immorality there and other kinds of things going on, and they're laughing about it and they're poking fun at it and they're posting it on social media and different things like that, and it's terrible. And sometimes it involves sexual abuse and other kinds of things that are just terrible, and they'll just hey, they're laughing about it and cutting up, and sometimes the posting of it is what eventually draws law enforcement to investigate and see what's going on. But they're poking fun and they're laughing at that which is wrong. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 23. It is as sport to a fool to do wickedness, and so is wisdom to a man of understanding. It is a sport to a fool to do wickedness. Oh, it's fun. It's no big deal. Look with me at chapter 14 and verse 9. Chapter 14 and verse 9. A trespass offering mocketh fools. The newer versions say, a fool mocks at sin. A fool makes a mockery of sin. But among the upright there is goodwill. It's foolish to make a mockery of sin. When I engage in something that's wrong and sinful, and then I mock that, and I poke fun at that, Why is that foolish? Why is that without good sense and without good reason? Well, let me suggest a few things this evening. First of all, do you remember in Genesis 39 and verse 9? Joseph said, how can I do this great wickedness and what? Sin against God? Sin, every sin is against God in heaven. And that's why we shouldn't mock sin. We're going to have to give an account of that to God. And number two, sin separates us. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Sin, whether we laugh at it or not, and the more we laugh at it doesn't change the fact it's going to separate us from God. That's serious business. You see, fools make a mockery of sin. Laugh at it, poke fun at it, no big deal. But sin in the Scripture is very serious. The wages of sin is spiritual death, Romans 3:23. And our sins will find us out, Numbers 32:23. And Paul talks about in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 24 that some men's sins go before unto judgment. You clearly know what they're doing, and they're going to be held accountable for that. But I've played the fool when I make a mockery at sin, as some people do in society. It's amazing what people will laugh at. The sinful behavior in our world that people will laugh at. That's foolish behavior. You know, I have played the fool in refusing to control myself. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 22. God wants me to control my body and my mind and my tongue. And when I'm not in control, when I am just doing anything and everything I want, that is foolish behavior. I'm supposed to be in control of my faculties. In Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 22, with regard to the sinful woman and things like that, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to correction of a fool. This man who's going after the ungodly, sexually immoral woman is a fool. Look at chapter 14 and verse 17. Chapter 14 and verse 17. He that is soon angry will deal foolishly. He that is soon angry will deal foolishly. I'm not going to control my sexual appetites, chapter 7, verse 22. I'm not going to control my anger, chapter 14 and verse 17. Look at chapter 18 and verse 6 and 7. What else do I need to control? Chapter 18, verses 6 and 7. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for stripes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So I'm not going to control my sexual appetites and my anger and my lips and other things that I need to control. And I lead to foolish behavior. I have played the fool when I've done that. Look at chapter 20 and verse 3. It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling. Why is that? Why is it foolish behavior to not control myself? Well, turn over to Proverbs 27 and verse 3. When I won't control myself, it's going to be like I'm weighed down with a heavy stone, and it's just going to cause myself and other people problems. Yeah, I can just let my anger go, and I can just let the words fly, and I can just let my sexual appetite go and just do whatever I want. But there's going to be a price to be paid for that. Look at chapter 27 and verse 3. A stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's vexation is heavier than they both. It's going to weigh me down and cause all kinds of problems for myself and others around me. But I've played the fool when I refuse to control the different things that God gives me. And I'm going to be weighed down, even heavier than a stone or a bunch of sand, and I'm going to pay the price for that. You know, I have played the fool in repeating my same foolish behavior. Turn with me to chapter 26, verse 11. Proverbs 26, 11. Have you ever been hammering something and you hit your thumb?
Yeah, it hurts, doesn't it?
Let me ask you this. After you hit your thumb and you started hammering again, did you hit your thumb again? Yeah, that happens every once in a while. Okay, either you need to move your thumb or move your hammer or both, but you don't want to keep the hammer and the thumb, you know, in that same spot, or it's just going to happen again and again, right? That really bugs me when I hit my thumb, but what bugs me worse is when I hit it again just a few seconds later. Sometimes people will repeat the same behavior, expecting different consequences. Albert Einstein was asked one time, "What is your definition of insanity?" He said, "Repeating the same behavior over and over again and expecting different results." I like that. We're just going to do the same thing over and over again, but we'll get different results. No, you're going to get the same result. And I played the fool when I do something and it's brought to my attention that it's wrong, but then I go back and do it again. And it's brought to my attention that it's wrong. And then I go back and do it again, and I go back and do it again, and I go back and do it again. Look at Proverbs 26 and verse 11. And this is what is quoted in 2 Peter chapter 2. "As a dog that returns to his own vomit, so is a fool that repeats his folly." I've played the fool when I just keep repeating the same old foolish behavior. When I say and think and do things that are brought to my attention that I shouldn't say, think, or do, but then I keep saying it and thinking it and doing it, I'm repeating the same old folly. And here's why that's foolish behavior. Galatians 6 and verse 7. We live in a law. We live in a world that has natural laws. When we drop something, the natural law of gravity makes it go to the ground. We have natural laws. And God builds His spiritual world like His natural world. Just like there are natural laws, inertia and gravity, the second law of thermodynamics where things are wearing out, we have these laws. There are spiritual laws that are similar to that. And one is found in Galatians 6 and verse 7. You reap what you sow. And if you repeat it again, you're going to reap it again. And you're going to reap it again. That's a law. And so when we repeat the same old folly, we're going to repeat the same old consequences that go with it. So let's not do that. But if I'm just going to keep doing that, I have played the fool. You know, I have played the fool in hearing Jesus' words but not obeying them. People do that a lot in the religious world. They hear the Bible, they hear things. Jesus and our little children sing in the little children's class about the wise man who built his house upon the rock and the foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The context of that is Jesus said, "Whoever hears these words of mine and does them not, you hear it but you don't do it, is like the foolish man." It's foolish week in and week out to hear God's word, read it or study it or hear it, and then not go out and do it. Don prayed that what he heard today, he would go out and practice this week. That's a great attitude. It's not academic. It's not theoretical. It's not hypothetical what we hear on Sundays and Wednesdays. But let's go out and practice it. And the reason it's foolish to hear words but not actually obey them, Romans 1:16, the gospel is God's power unto salvation. And when we receive with meekness the implanted word, it can save our souls, James 1:21. That's the very thing that saves us. There's nothing else that will save. There's nothing else other than this message that will save. So when we hear this but we don't go do it or obey it, we're rejecting the very thing that saves us. Let's not be like that. Let's be like the wise man who hears and then goes out and does it. But I've played the fool when I've heard the words of Jesus but won't obey them. I've played the fool in refusing to prepare myself for Jesus' return. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 and following. We're very familiar with the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. What's that parable about? It's about people who won't prepare themselves for Jesus' return. And if I'm not ready, I have played the fool. I'm foolish. Why is that? Because the time that we have right now, Paul describes and Peter describes as the long-suffering of God. Romans 2:4, 2 Peter 3:8. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The time that we have now is the time of God's long-suffering, and we are squandering that when we won't prepare ourselves. There is no other time. There is no second chance. There is no do-over. There is no reincarnation. There is no further opportunity after Jesus comes. This is the opportunity. And so I'm foolish when I won't be prepared and I squander my life. Let's be using our time, that long-suffering, that goodness of God. And Paul uses the word goodness in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. It's a very positive thing. Do you despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? The word goodness is repeated there. We're in the time period now of God's goodness. Let's use that to make our life right with Him. You know, I have played the fool in taking care of my outward life while neglecting my inward soul. Do you know that people do that a lot? I've got my job and, you know, I've got my house and I've got my car. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12 and verse 20. There's another Bible fool here. I've got my work, I've got my schooling, paying my bills, got a nice car, got a nice place to live. Oh, hadn't taken care of my soul. Oh, wasn't working on that one. And so in Luke chapter 12, in a context of where Jesus says, be careful about covetousness, material kinds of things, He tells this parable of what we call the rich farmer who builds bigger barns, and he's very prosperous and he has to have more barns to store his goods and so forth. The parable is not against good business practices. It's at the very end where it says, you fool, this night your soul is required, and whose shall these things be? He was not getting his soul right. He got his work right. And there are people today, brethren, who are working on their outward life and they're neglecting their inward soul and they're playing the fool. There's nothing wrong with making sure that our job is right and the bills are paid and all of that, but we have to also be taking care of our soul. Because the reason it's foolish is Matthew 16:26. What does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? We're neglecting the most important thing in our life. And it's not our house and car and job and money in the bank. It's what's inside of us. And is it ready to meet the Lord in the judgment day? But if all I'm doing is working on my outward life, I'm playing the fool. I'm successful. Things are going great. But I'm playing the fool. And I know you don't want that. That's why you're here this evening. Stop and think about it. Why are you here? You know the value of your soul. And you read your Bible and you're here and you worship and you live the godly Christian life. You know that there's more important things. And our young people are here. And that's great. Our young people could be 100 other places. They could be places that focus on the outward part of life, but they're here. They're working on their soul. What a great thing that is. And then last of all, I've played the fool. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3. I've played the fool when I've allowed somebody to take me away from my life in Christ. Do you know of anybody who was a Christian for a while and then they allowed something to take them away from that? It could have been a friendship. It could have been material that they had gotten a hold of, something that they read or something that a friend did or maybe even a family member or a bunch of other people. Someone took them away from Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul helped to establish the churches of Galatia in Acts chapter 13 and 14, and he writes to them. Someone had come in after Paul had left and had taken them away from Christ. And look at what he says in Galatians 3, 1. Oh, what? Oh, foolish Galatians. Who did bewitch you? The word there means to be mesmerized with. To be stunned and wow, that is awesome. And you're just looking at that. It's like your eyes are fixed. Someone had come in and preached another gospel, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. They were bewitched by it. Oh, this is not like what Paul said. This is better. Let's go with this. And Paul said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? They allowed themselves to get their eyes off of Christ and the truth. And they're foolish for doing so. And the reason is, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, there is no better life than the life of a Christian. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, godliness has the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. If you're a faithful Christian and you allow someone to take you away from Christ, it's foolish because you are exchanging the absolute best life for something that is far less. And I've played the fool when I allow somebody to do that. Let's never allow anybody to do that. Well, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. Let's not be like Aaron who had to fess up, I have played the fool. Let's not be like David who had to fess up and say, I have played the fool. Let's not be like Saul. These things that we've looked at this evening are foolish behavior. It goes on every day in the world by so many people. But we know that that is not what God wants for us. We're going to use our mind and our senses and the reason that God gives us, and we're going to see through all of that foolish behavior. We're going to see that even though it's done out in the world, and even though the world mocks its sin and they don't care about their soul, we're going to see through that. We're going to use our reasoning and our senses and the Word of God, and we're going to look squarely through that and see that that is not for us. We're not going to do that type of thing. That's how God wants us to live. The alternative is we just find ourselves engaged in foolish behavior. There may be someone here this evening that needs to respond to the Word of God. We appreciate the presence of everyone. And if you need to come to Him this evening, we would encourage you to do that. Being baptized into Christ, or if there's a child of God who needs to come back in some way, maybe you have seen. In my life, I really have not been living the way I need to live. I have been playing the fool. I know it's hard to admit. It's hard to say. It's hard to own up to something like that. But with that kind of humility, that's the step back to God. Let's go out and not act foolishly, but let's act wisely this week. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?